Good morning, everyone. Delighted to have you with us today. If you need a Bible, slip up your hand. We love God's Word here. We go through it chapter by chapter, verse by verse. We actually do love the milk and the meat and the manna of God's Word better than pie, even though the pie is okay. You're going to be hungry again tomorrow, but the Word of the Lord endures forever, so... Okay, keep your hands up till they get to you with the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 4 this morning as we come to the conclusion of Paul's final words, Paul's final written words to the church. Last week the message was famous last words. This morning, ministry, the faithful, unfaithful, friend and foe. We'll see what that means in a moment. We've opened our Bibles. Let's open our hearts. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truth. You are the way and the truth and the life, Lord. Thank you for your word, which is milk and meat and manna from heaven. Sweeter than honey, David said. I pray, Lord, that we would love your word more than physical food. And so this morning, as we sit at your feet, we pray that you would teach us through your word and through the power of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we get to sections of Scripture, Lord, we don't quite understand, names we can't pronounce. But every cross T, every dotted I in your word is given by the inspiration of God. So, Lord, teach us this morning. May we have open Bibles and open hearts to receive your word, which is like seed, which is planted in good, rich soil so that we can bear much fruit, Lord. And so may we be hearers of your word and doers of your word, Lord. We can walk it out. And so, Lord, you be the teacher this morning through your word, through your spirit. And may we grow more in love with you, Lord, more in love with one another. And, Lord, may we be just mindful of the time in which we live and how important the truth of your word is. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to pick it up at verse 9. Let's read it through to the end of the chapter. And then we'll come back and see what the Lord has for us this morning. Verse 9, 2 Timothy 4. Be diligent to come to me quickly, Paul writes. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world, and has departed for Thessalonica. Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I have left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, so that the message might be preached fully through me, and that all the Gentiles might hear. Also, I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet Prisca, or Priscilla, and Aquila, and the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Prophemus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens, Linus, Claudia, and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. These are Paul's final written words in Scripture. Here he is, as we've seen over the past few weeks, in a Mamertine prison, a filthy rat-infested prison. And his concern is more for Pastor Timothy and the continuation of the gospel of Jesus Christ than even for his own well-being. What a heart this man had. He's not focused on himself. It bothers me today where this message of self is preached through many churches today. My Bible tells me that I'm to deny myself daily, pick up my cross, and follow him. There's no greater blessing than to help others, to be others-minded. And that's important. Paul was others-minded. And in his last words, we've seen over the past few weeks how he was encouraging Timothy to preach the word. Times haven't changed. That's an admonition for everybody that stands in God's pulpit. This is God's pulpit. Preach the word. We don't need entertainment today. We don't need to entertain the goats. We need to feed the sheep. And that's what God tells every pastor to do. Why? Because all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's God-breathed. Isn't it amazing? We have the Word of God before us today, and it's God speaking to us through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's profitable for doctrine. That's what is right. Don't you think we need to know what is right in a world today that's upside down? We've got the good news in light of the fake news. I'll tell you what, I turn on the television anymore, read the newspaper, I don't know who to believe. But I open my Bible and I know who to believe. The one who loved me and gave his life for me. The shepherd of the sheep, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. God's word is given for reproof. That's what is not right. It's given for correction. That's how to get right. And for instruction, that's how to stay right. And that's Paul's heart desire. Timothy, preach the word, preach the word, preach the word. And I think that's important today. What are we going to do after we finish this book? We're going to start another one. And guess what? It's my favorite book again. Every time we start a book, it's my favorite book. Oh, that's my favorite chapter, my favorite verse. Every book in this Bible, all 66, from Genesis 1 all the way to the maps in the back, I love every book. And so about every sixth or seventh book or so, we get into a gospel on Sunday morning. We're going into the Gospel of Mark next week. So read ahead, the good news of Mark. And so this morning, how easy it is at times to look at those people that we read about in the Bible and look at them as super saints, superheroes, superhuman, many ways superstars. But one of the many things I love about this book is God uses real people, just like you and I. Times haven't changed. And when the real truth of the matter comes forth, they're all flesh and blood, just like you and I. No different. They have struggles. They have feelings. They have emotions, just like we do. We fumble. We flounder. We do foolish things. Yep, even this week, I'm batting 1,000, you know. But I love grace. God's righteousness at Christ's expense, getting what I don't deserve. And God chose us for such a time as this to further the good news of Jesus Christ. All of us. We're all ministers. Small M, not a capital M. We're all ministers. We're all servants. And I love to look at biblical characters. They laugh, they cry, they grieve, they mourn. They worry, they doubt, they succeed, and yes, they fail too. Isn't it wonderful that God knows what he got in the package? When Jesus Christ died on that cross and had you upon his heart, he knew exactly what he got in the package. That's what encourages me, and I hope it would encourage you this morning. We're going to look at Paul. And yes, many of whom make up the family of God. Read the genealogy sometime. Do a study of the people that make up the genealogies. Gospel of Matthew, first chapter. I remember before I got saved, I'd read that. I carried a Bible for a good luck charm. You know, when I was in Vietnam, I didn't know the God of the Word, so I couldn't understand the Word of God. I didn't know the author. And I thought, what's this begot stuff? But you know what? Those are important scripture verses, especially when you read about Christ's family tree. It doesn't look like the family of Adam. It looks like the Adams family. All of us. That encourages me. One super saint, if you will, is the Apostle Paul. And it wasn't because he wore skinny jeans, torn skinny jeans, and had moose in his hair. He wasn't much to look at. And you know what? In all reality, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ wasn't much to look at. He wasn't comely, the Bible says. He wasn't a rock star either. He was the rock. And we need to look for the rock today and not the rock star. People are being led astray and deceived, man. Who are you following? Are you following Jesus Christ? Or are you following somebody that's flesh and blood? Flesh and blood will let you down. And so Paul, who in his own words wrote, and he didn't have low self-esteem when he said, I'm the chiefest of sinners, or that my righteousness is but filthy rags. The closer we draw to the light of Jesus Christ, the more flaws we see in our own personal lives. He tells us in his testimony, 1 Timothy 1:13, he says, I was a former murderer, a blasphemer, and an insolent man. And God used this man to write a good portion of the New Testament. We're reading it here today. But he finished well. And when you look at his life, after his conversion to Jesus Christ, all of these things that he was fade into the background. And all of a sudden, who he really is comes to the forefront. You read his letters. You read about his life. He loved God. He loved God's word. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. For it's a power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and to the Gentile. They're starting the High Holy Days upstairs this week. Pray for those precious people. I love them. I love it when I get a chance to share from their book. It's amazing how here's Joe Gentile knows more about their book than they do. Again, it's all about the author thing. It's not that I have all this great wisdom. I know the author. He's my dad. Abba, Father. And isn't it wonderful to know? And we're blessed. Sitting right here in a Jewish synagogue, we are blessed to know God in a personal, intimate way. Paul also loved the Jews. He loved the Gentiles. Paul loved the lost. These are all lessons for you and I as Spirit-filled believers today. Where's the love? The greatest evidence of who you and I are in Jesus Christ is agape love. And we don't have a critical spirit. And we don't put people down. We're to love the Lord. We're to love his word. We're to love one another. We're to love our enemies. And that's not a suggestion. It's a divine commandment from Jesus himself. Why? Because Paul said, it's the love of Christ that constrains me. And that's my question to you here this morning. Does the love of God constrain you? I mean, it's almost as though he embraces us with his love continually. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful place to be. That's how Paul got through what he went through. Because it was the love of Christ that constrained him. And so this morning, it's touching to see what Paul's closing days were like here on earth. He's getting close to the finish line. He didn't know what the day or the hour would be when he would be decapitated. As a matter of fact, because later in our text here this morning, he asked for the books and the parchments, he was going to continue on studying the Word of God and get ready for his next sermon. What a guy, wherever he went, either a riot or a revival broke out. That's preaching the Word, folks. And so we look at him, we look at his final days, and you know what? A lot of them parallel his Savior. Falsely accused. He got accused of preaching the gospel. You know, pastors get falsely accused today? There was a bill last week on Jerry Brown's desk to get rid of this book because they say it's hate literature. Because it goes against people's perverted lifestyles. We get falsely accused for preaching the truth. I shared last week, I love sinners. That's why I do what I do. You know, he who has been forgiven much loves much, and that's why I love sinners. But such were some of you, the Bible says. We have the cure for every type of lifestyle, every addiction, every sin. We have the truth of God's word to set the captives free. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to this very day. Paul was thrown in prison. And we're not talking the country clubs like we have called prisons today. He had tears, he had grief, he had sorrow. He was abused, forsaken, as we see here. And yes, even to death, he gave his life for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I got a feeling that that's what's going to separate the saints from the ain'ts in the final days in which we live. We're getting close. Look at how the darkness is entering into America today against Jesus Christ, against the Bible. Persecution's on the horizon. What are we going to do? We're going to bail? And so in Paul's final letter to Timothy, here he is in a filthy, rat-infested dungeon. Paul was virtually all alone. That's what the subtitle says on my Bible, the abandoned apostle. He was cold. That's why he asked for his cloak. He was lonely. And no one had come to his trial or to his defense as he sat before the Roman court. And so here this morning in verses 9 and 10, look what it says. Be diligent to come to me quickly, writing to Timothy. He was looking for Timothy to come and visit him. For Demas has forsaken me, having loved this present world and has departed for Thessalonica, Crescens for Galatia, Titus for Dalmatia. And so here we see, first of all, Demas had walked away from the faith. Do you see that happening today? I do. There were many people when we first got saved that we went to the house of the Lord, as David said, together. We went to the house of the Lord. And then I look today, I go, what happened? What happened? Where are you today? And I got news for you. There were a bunch of guys I hung out with. We went to my first men's retreat with Calvary Chapel West Covina. There was 8 of us in the same room. And I'll tell you what, to this very day, all 8 of us are still very, very close friends. And I was probably the least likely to go into ministry today. And guess what? I'm the only one. And these guys had more gifts and talents and more wisdom and knowledge and insight and all. And it's like, where are they today? Many have walked away from the faith. Crescens and Titus had left, but not for the same reasons. God moved them on. They continued on in ministry. And Paul was hoping that Timothy would come to him quickly before his departure. Remember back last week in verse 6, he talked about his departure. The term is to loose the moorings on a boat. And for every person in this room, one day, the moorings will be loosed on us. We will make a departure. Today we call it get ready for takeoff. Are you ready for the takeoff? Whether it be through the rapture or through the rupture of your heart, we're getting very, very close to taking off. Are you ready for departure? Paul was. He was hoping to see Timothy before. He dearly loved Timothy. Timothy was his son in the faith. He discipled him. He trained him up in the ways of the Lord. And so here in verses 9 and 10, we have the faithful and the unfaithful in Paul's ministry. And that's just a fact of life in every ministry on the planet. You're going to have the faithful, you're going to have the unfaithful. That's just the way it is. Demas had been one of Paul's co-workers. He's mentioned 3 times in Paul's letters. What an incredible lesson we can learn from both Paul and Demas. With Paul, Paul never once criticized or condemned Demas. I think that's important, okay? Someone leaves, someone backslides, someone stabs you in the back, whatever it might be. Don't blast him. Pray for God to bring him back and bless him. Paul also wrote in Galatians 6:1, those who you are spiritual, go and restore a brother or sister that's backslidden, lest you also be tempted. And Paul never once criticized or condemned Demas. Even though he forsook Paul, it says he loved the world and he departed for Thessalonica. There's also some important lessons with Demas here. I love the fact that God gives us all warnings. You know, and we have to be very, very careful. Again, don't point the finger at someone that maybe has backslidden or turned away, because he who thinks he stands, my Bible says, take heed lest you fall. And when you point the finger, isn't it interesting, 3 point back at you. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Be very, very careful. The lesson we learn from Demas is an important lesson as well. The world drew him out of the church. And they caused Demas to leave Paul and the ministry. It says he loved the present world. My Bible tells me, 1 John 2:15, to love not the world, nor the things of the world. If anybody loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And that's what we're talking about when we're told not to love the world. lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, pride of life. These are the things that will draw us away. And Demas loved the lusts of the world and the lust of the flesh. Now, there's another interesting lesson for us here as well, looking at Demas' life. Did you know that there are actually two ways to love the world? The way Demas did, in a lustful way. But my Bible tells me that there's also a good way to love the world. Really? Really. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. But not in a sinful way. We have to recognize that. He so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. So if you're going to love the world, love them like Jesus did. Don't blast the sinners. Ask God to bless the sinners. Somehow, some way, I don't know who prayed for me, but somebody did along the way. I had a lot of people wanting to blast me, but somewhere along the line, someone actually wanted to bless me, probably my wife, saying, save that sinful wretch. In a loving way. The Demas loved the world with its sin and with its lusts. And you know what? There's a lot of temptation out there. Seriously. If sin wasn't fun for a season, we wouldn't be tempted by it. The Bible actually says that there is pleasure in sin, but only for a season, and then comes judgment. Sometimes we forget about that second part when we're tempted, when we succumb to sin, that there's always judgment that comes with it. We must love the world and its lusts. But for us as Christians, you see, our love is not eros, which is the fleshly love, sexual love, or phileo is a good love. That's a brotherly love. But our love is agape love, the love of Christ. We're to love the world as God loves the world. We're to love the lost. We're to love the hungry, the hurting, the homeless. We're to love the sinner. That's the heart of Christ. He loved the winebibbers, the drunkards, the prostitutes, the lepers. He loves sinners. What a lesson this is. You know what? I'm not just sharing with you this morning. This is just an inventory time as well for me in my own personal life. Am I going to love like Christ loves? Because I'm guilty of being critical and judgmental in my own heart. And Jesus said, if you thought it, you'd done it. But we're to be very, very careful that we love the world as Christ loves the world. Not what the world has to offer us. Oh, it'll offer you everything and anything to draw you away from Christ. Wealth, power, lust, pleasure, fleshly desires. And so here's the first challenge in the text this morning. Do we love the world like God loves the world? Or do you love the world like Demas loves the world? We're all tempted. Paul also mentions the faithful here, and that's a good thing. In verses 9 to 12, he names some faithful people. First of all, in 10, we see Crescens and Titus. And then in verse 11, only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for ministry. And Tychicus I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. And so here we see, Paul mentions the faithful. There were many, many, many faithful people that Paul ministered with. It's interesting, if you count all of the names that Paul mentions in his letters, there's over 100 names. Paul was a people person. He loved people. And he mentions the faithful here. And Paul was very much a people person. Crescens. Who was Crescens? Did he make rolls? No. He was sent by Paul to Galatia, it says. Not much is known about him. But you know what? That's okay, isn't it? Wouldn't you just love to have your name mentioned in the Bible? But guess what? I got one better for you. If you know Jesus Christ, your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you can have your name in the Hall of Fame, and you can have your name in all of these worldly places, but you know what? That's okay if I never see my name mentioned in this world, because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Not much is known about Crescens other than Paul mentions him here. He was a faithful man. Is there any better compliment for you and I as a Christian to be called faithful? Why? Because that's exactly what Jesus is going to say to you and I when we arrive. Well done, good and famous servant. Famous? Oh, faithful. Okay. He's not looking for the famous. He's looking for the faithful. I'll tell you what, if you're faithful, you're not necessarily going to be famous. You'll be famous with the devil because he's going to heat up things for you, boy, big time. But you know what? I'd rather be faithful in heaven than to be famous here on earth. And that's not my own nugget. I got that at the bottom of the Daily Bread page one day. It's better to be faithful than to be famous. Titus, there's an epistle written about him. It's the one that follows this. He was real close to Paul and Timothy. Paul wrote a letter to Titus. Paul called him a true son in the common faith. And again, another wonderful compliment, isn't it? To be called by the greatest apostle that we have, faithful. Then there's Dr. Luke. I love Dr. Luke. I know, I say that about every book that we read. But the Gospel of Luke is right up there with my favorites. God uses a physician. Paul called him the beloved physician to write that wonderful gospel. Why? So that we could see that a physician would write about the virgin birth of the Messiah. And he would also be the one who would write out the death certificate at the tomb. But he would tear it up when Jesus Christ rose from the grave. And he also taught about the resurrection. Oh, how we need doctors today that believe in the God of miracles. Luke was a physician that believed in Jesus Christ, the great physician. Dr. Luke wrote the largest of the four Gospels. He traveled thousands of miles with Paul. And you got to believe maybe Paul received some medical care as well from the beloved physician. Even one time we read that Luke was shipwrecked with Paul. Luke probably said to Paul, that's the last time I go on a Christian cruise with you. You know, Paul was shipwrecked four times. Wow. Then there's Mark we see here. Barnabas' cousin, you remember the story. On his first missionary journey, Mark took off. He bolted. What a lesson we see. He went from being unfaithful, deserted Paul. As a matter of fact, Paul and Barnabas got in a riff over this, but he went back to the world, if you would, but yet he returned to the faith. He had abandoned Paul on his first missionary journey for reasons unknown, and this actually, again, caused a split between Paul and Barnabas. They went their own separate ways. But Paul recognized that Mark was a valuable worker in ministry. And again, do we shoot the wounded in the church or do we seek to restore them? When somebody leaves ministry, do we think they're done, washed up, God can't use them anymore? Well, I got news for you, and it's good news. There's always a way back. And Paul recognized that there was a special calling on Mark's life, and he was a valuable tool for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Paul needed him in Rome. And so the lesson in this is one failure in Christian service need not make one's whole life a failure. Be careful. Do you seek to restore people? I can't tell you the number of phone calls and the number of personal visits I've made because my heart is broken over a brother or sister that has departed from the faith or whatever the situation might be. That should break our heart because it breaks the heart of God. There's no greater testimony than to bring somebody back restored. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good to see you, brother. Good to see you, sister. And so we see further on here, Paul says, get Mark and bring him with you, for he's useful to me in ministry. Because when people tend to backslide, they come back beat up, don't they? And oftentimes, you know, you open the doors to the church and here comes someone just beat up. And the last thing they need is for the church to beat up on them. We need to restore them, bind their wounds, love them to life. Don't beat them to death. Again, we're all subject to making wrong choices, to drifting. Verse 12. And Tychicus, I have left, or I have sent to Ephesus. Bring the cloak that I have left with Carpus at Troas when you come, and the books, especially the parchments. Who's Tychicus? He was a believer from Asia. Again, mentioned because he was faithful. He not only accompanied Paul often, but also served or ministered to Paul. You see, his ministry was to minister to the minister. That's important today. Not that we look as pastors to be ministered to, but it's so nice to have someone to come along and say, hey, you know what? You're looking a little down today. Can I pray for you? I'm going to be straight up with you here this morning. I usually am. Why would I even say that? I'm straight up with you all the time. There's a lot of pastors under attack today. There's a lot of churches under attack today. And it's the ones that preach the truth. Brother Mark, we prayed for him this morning, broke his neck last week. Pastor in Hemet, paralyzed from the waist down. A week before, a brother in Christ, Chino Hills, took his life. That breaks my heart. But you know what? I read his wife's testimony, and I can relate to what he was going through. I'm not going to commit suicide. But you know what? There were things that she mentioned that people don't realize that go on in the life of a pastor. Early on, someone told me, yeah, you're going to be surrounded by people in ministry, but you're going to be the loneliest person on the planet. And one of the things that his wife mentioned is that he was lonely, man. It can be the loneliest place on the planet. I can't explain it. That's why we started our pastor's ministry once a month. Right here, we clear these tables, chairs out, we put tables here, and we have 9 to 12 pastors, local pastors that preach the word of God, that love one another. We weep together, we laugh together, we pray together. And what we thought would last an hour, hour and a half on a Thursday has been 3 to 3.5 hours now. Because we need each other. We're not in competition. Sheep cause competition between churches when you church hop and bounce around and gossip and all this garbage. And that's why we started this ministry, because I had heard some of these pastors' names, never met them, but I had already been filled in about their lives by people that maybe wanted to had an axe to grind or something, you know? And that's why I thought, we're going to get to know one another. We're going to get to know the truth about one another. We got a bunch of humble men that love the word, many broken, many hurting, going through all sorts of difficulties. So pray for the pastors that come here. Pray for pastors in general. It's not easy. But it's a blessing. Carpus had the gift of hospitality. That's important. Probably baked pies. And evidently Paul had left in a hurry, and he left his cloak and his books and his parchments behind. And there he is in a dungeon, a cold, damp dungeon. And look at this guy, Paul. He still wants to study. Still wants to read the books, the parchments. Read the Word of God. You know what gets us through difficult times? Staying in the Word of God. What else can you hold on to? Paul had no idea that Caesar Nero was about to decapitate him. But Paul was focused on the Lord, and I'm going to do what I'm called to do until my departure. The moorings are loosed. And that should be true with all of us. No matter what comes your way, stay in the Word of God. Stay on your knees. Stay in fellowship. Stay in church. Whatever it might be, stay close to Jesus Christ. That's what's going to get us through. And here Paul asked to bring the cloak and the books. It was cold in the dungeon. Bring my cloak. Faithful Carpus guarded them. Paul had left those things, and he guarded them until he got the opportunity to take them to Paul. No task or is menial for Jesus Christ. Everything is important. And so we now go from the faithful and the unfaithful to friends and foes. And the first one we're going to look at here in verses 14 to 16 is a foe. He went from a bro to a foe. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. May the Lord repay him according to his works. You also must beware of him, Timothy, for he has greatly resisted our words. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. Alexander the coppersmith. Paul actually named a name of a man that was a foe. Could this possibly be the same Alexander in 1 Timothy 1:20? Very well could be. From his reputation, it could be. Paul said, whom I delivered over to Satan, that he learned not to blaspheme. Paul also mentions turning someone over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their soul might be saved, in the book of 1 Corinthians. And here Paul says, he did me much harm, and he has greatly resisted our words. In either case, the man was a foe. And this is another one of the things that pastors have to deal with. There are those that want to harm pastors in many different ways. They want them to stumble. They want them to fall. It is crazy. I went on Facebook, as many of you know, to do a devotional once a week called Face in the Book. And so all of a sudden, man, you get these hotties that want to be your friend. And it's like, are you kidding me? It's crazy. I don't even have to click on. I just look at the picture and go, Grandma, what big eyes you have. Seriously, it's nuts. You guys know what I'm talking about. You guys know it's on the internet. That's why it's called a net and a web. Seriously, man, there's guys going down left and right. And emails, they send pastors emails. I get emails, everything from marijuana. I get my free sample of marijuana this week. To dating sites and all this. It's crazy, man. Pray for one another and pray for your pastor. Again, Satan is heating up the battle out there, man. Paul says he did me much harm and greatly resisted our words, and the man was a foe. And you know what? Just as God has his disciples, so does Satan. Satan has his workers too, have you noticed? It says Alexander the coppersmith. Maybe like Demetrius, remember in the book of Acts, who was a silversmith, he might have made pagan shrines like Demetrius did. Demetrius made pagan shrines of the goddess of Artemis in Ephesus. And when Paul came in and preached the gospel, guess what? All these idol makers were going out of business and they got ripped. They had Paul arrested. And so Alexander may have been in the idol business making them out of copper. Who knows? And when Paul taught the word in Ephesus, just as we see here, Alexander, I'm sure, came against Paul, just like Demetrius did. And God spoke through Paul when he went into Ephesus, and Paul was telling them that our God is not made with hands. He's not a trinket or an idol or a statue of any sort. And they turned away from their idols, and the idol makers were going out of business. Isn't it interesting how that works with the truth? Look what we see going on here. The gospel goes forth. Certain things get shut down. I'm not going to mention any company names that are in a tailspin right now. But I know some companies that are Christian companies that love Jesus Christ that were under attack last week and over the past couple of years. One of them being In-N-Out Hamburgers. Scripture verses on all of their packaging. Someone came against them for donating to the Republican Party, and they didn't have any idea that they also donated to the Democratic Party. And that really irritated me last week. You know why? Because I couldn't get near an In-N-Out. It was packed with people. I couldn't get a hamburger. The same thing happened with Chick-fil-A. Crazy how that works, isn't it? Put God first and he'll take care of the rest. Whatever it was Alexander was doing to Paul to cause him much harm, we don't know. But what I do know, and another lesson for us, is he said that the Lord would repay him. Let the Lord take care of it. Vengeance belongs to the Lord, the Bible says. We have to be very, very careful when people come against them. Our first resort should be to pray for them, intercede on their behalf. Well, sometimes we rather picket or protest or pummel them for the sake of another P. Let God take care of it, and that's what Paul says. He also warns Timothy to beware, verse 15. Heads up, Timothy. Be on the lookout. This guy's trouble. And we have to be discerning. He does harm to the cause of Christ by greatly opposing the teaching, he's telling Timothy. And he admonished Timothy to teach the truth of God's word. And he says, be careful, because when you teach the word of God, there will be opposition. Verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May it not be charged against them. And again, look at the comparison between Paul and Christ. Everybody forsook Christ. He was alone. No one stood with him. At his trial, Paul was all alone in the flesh. No one was with him, he says. No one stood by him. No one supported him. But look what Paul says again. That's okay. Don't charge it against him. No problem. Even though no one stood by him, even though no one supported him, even though everyone forsook him, Paul prayed that the Lord would forgive them. That's the heart of forgiveness that should be in every believer today. We should be quick to forgive. 70 times 7. How about you? Do you forgive? Are you quick to forgive? Let God deal with it. Let God take care of it. Sometimes we miss out on seeing God take care of a situation because we try to take it into our own hands, don't we? And you miss out seeing the hand of God. People say, well, I never see God do anything in my life. Well, let go. How are you going to see God when you get in his way? Get out of the way. And you'll see the hand of God. Do it his way. His way always works best. And when I try to take things into my own hand, guess what? They get worse. I make a literal mountain out of a molehill. And I can blame it on being a guy. That's a guy thing, man. Revenge, dude. Just throw blows here. And no, that's not a guy thing. It's a sin thing. It's a pride thing. And even when his foes tested him and tried him, Paul looked for opportunities to tell him how to be saved. Is there any greater thing than to see your enemy saved? That's God's desire. And when he saved you, guess what? You were at enmity with God when he saved you. Hello? What a difference there is when the Holy Spirit controls your life, your actions, and your prayers. That's what it means to be Spirit-filled. The last fruit of the Spirit mentioned, of course, is self-control, isn't it? We're to be under the control of the Holy Spirit. And when we get out of control, guess what? You're not under the control of the Holy Spirit. And here we see Paul's on trial for his life. He's standing before Nero himself, probably the most wicked of all the Roman rulers, Caesar Nero. The courtroom's filled with spectators, lions, if you would. Paula mentioned that in a moment. Yet no one was on Paul's side until we read the next verse. Check this out, verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Isn't that encouraging? You ever been to that place in your life before? You've been forsaken, forgotten, nobody's around to help you. Lord, where'd everybody go? He says, I'm here. The Lord stood by Paul. He wasn't, it says, the Lord stood with Paul, I'm sorry. There's a difference between standing by and standing with Paul. And you know what? Times haven't changed. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes, and God stands with you and me today. You can hold on to that. I'm sure there are some of you here in this room feeling that way. Where is everybody? I'm alone. I've been abandoned. This is the trial of my life. The Lord stands with you because his word says so, and because he promised, lo, I will be with you always. How often is always? Always. The Lord's with us here today. The Lord's going to be with you when you leave. Some people think, oh, I'll just go to church, see Jesus, and I'll leave him there. It doesn't work that way. Do you not know that you're the temple of the Holy Spirit? Everywhere we go, he's with us. Praise God. Isn't that encouraging in the world in which we live? Thank you, God, for being with me. The Lord stood with Paul. He wasn't just standing by. He stood with Paul. Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you always. Paul says, the Lord also strengthened me. The Lord stands by us or with us. and the Lord strengthens us, just as he did Paul. Do you really think that the Lord loved Paul more than he does you and I? There is not a person in this room that God does not love as much as Paul and Peter and James and John and Moses. And he loves us all the same. He doesn't have favorites. We're all his favorite. The Lord stands with us today. He strengthens us today. No matter what you're facing, he's with you. And doesn't it make it easier to get through whatever that situation might be? When you get the doctor's diagnosis. Remember when I got mine, or Randy, I'm sure when he got his. First thing you think is the Lord stands with me. He's with me. Yes, I'm sitting in the doctor's office, the door opens, I'm sitting on the table, and he gives me the diagnosis, and the first thing is the Lord stands with me. He's with me. Jesus isn't going, oh, I had no idea. Why do we think of it that way? God, don't you know? Lord, can't you see? What part of omnipresent don't you understand? And omniscience don't you understand? He knows everything. He is everywhere, all at the same time. And be it death, despair, disease, or even the darkest of times, he stands with you. Do you know that? He's there. He gives us strength. And many times this may not be evident. You ever notice in your life, sometimes you don't sense the presence of the Lord until something happens? And there's for a reason for that. Because many times his presence isn't evident until all of a sudden we're faced with these trials. And all of a sudden, man, you sense his presence like never before. There he is. As you're singing the old hymn, he was there all the time. There's his strength to get us through. And God works through us, just like he did Paul. God delivers us, even from the mouths of the gossips or the lions. The mouths of lions is a common term that speaks of mortal danger. And that's what Paul is talking about here. Second part of verse 17. I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. You know what that means for us today? There is one out there called the adversary who goes about like a roaring lion. And he's hungry. He loves sheep, seeking whom he may devour. But yet oftentimes we give him too much credit because he's nothing. His power is nothing in comparison to the power of Jesus Christ. Look at verse 18. And the Lord will deliver me. Okay, he's standing by you. He gives you strength. And he will deliver you. As Paul says, the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me here for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now, our trials are really nothing in comparison to Paul's. And look what he's doing here. He knew the Lord was standing with him. He knew that the Lord was giving him strength. He knew that the Lord will deliver him from every evil work. He's not panicking. He's not flipping out. He's probably flipping through the pages of the parchments and the books that he has, that he wants more of. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work. And I would hope that you have that highlighted, circled, underlined, stars next to it. I got that all on my Bible here. Because that's a promise. The promise that he's with you, the promise that he will give you strength, the promise he will deliver you is for you and me as well. Not just Paul. You see, Paul went through these things so he could share them with you and I when we go through them. And I doubt if any of us will go through what Paul went through, beaten with rods and shipwrecked and whipped and, you know, dragged out of town dead. Or they thought he was dead till he got up and went back into town and preached again. Oh, man, can't get rid of the guy. Here he comes again. Wow, can you imagine? All beat up from being stoned, lumps all over his head and bloody and stuff. And turning your Bibles to, you know, it's like, are you kidding me, Paul? Couldn't that be insane? I showed up one Sunday like that. Rough week, huh, Pastor Joe? Yeah, turn in your Bibles to, you know, it's like. But the good news is we won't be facing these things. Pretty much, we won't. We may be martyred one day. I don't know. God knows. Your departure date is already in the books. We're just not home yet. And so we see here that God is going to deliver us. Has God ever broken a promise? He can't. It's impossible for God. He cannot break a promise. And so Paul here, for you and for me, and for Timothy and for the church for 2,000 years, is affirming his faith in Jesus Christ. And this letter is for you and I. He went through these things so that he could encourage you and I. He knew that the completion of his own salvation was at hand. He was nearer to heaven than when he first believed. Everyone in this room is nearer to heaven than when we first believed. Who knows what this next week might hold? It could be the rapture. Who knows? I don't know. We're going to be in heaven right on time. We are now closer to heaven than when we first believed. Do you know that? Do you sense that? Do you have an urgency in your heart to reach others with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Your last breath on earth precedes your next breath in heaven. What would that be like? It's like, next thing you know, wow, you know? Crazy. I can't imagine. We can't in this earthly body made of dirt. He's going to have to give us a new heavenly body so that we can handle it. But we're made out of dust. We're but specks of dust. Paul also said, Philippians 1:21, to live is Christ, to die is to gain. Do you know that? Why is it people are, even Christians, oh, I'm so sorry so-and-so died. Really? Heaven is a reward. It's not a punishment, my friend. To live is Christ, to die is to gain. What are you going to gain? Everything. Throughout all eternity. No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Not one doctor in heaven, not one hospital in heaven, not one gravestone in heaven. No more pain, no more grief, no more violence. I mean, the list is endless. And Paul was confident. We need to be confident as well. Are you confident in the power of God? Are you confident and assured that he stands by you today and gives you strength and will deliver you? I hope so. We need to wake up to this fact in the church today. We're getting close to the finish line. Anyone who is in Christ facing a life or death situation can be comforted with the assurance knowing that God will bring you safely through death and into life in his heavenly kingdom. That's the hope that we have. And Paul was assured of this in the second part of verse 18, where he says, to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Amazing man, isn't he? A man of faith. That he would be able to just praise God right there on death row. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And he ends with this. As he sits waiting to be decapitated in a filthy dungeon. I'm sure being in chains, unbathed. The prisoners around him, I'm sure mocking him. Where's your God now? Hot, stuffy, dank, dark, smelly cell. Cell for Paul was not a phone. And you know what I see in the life of this great man? Not one complaint. Not one poor me. Not one, Lord, where are you? Not one doubt, not one fear, not one lapse in his faith. You know what his focus was on? It wasn't on himself. He remembers his friends as well. In the last section, he's talking about his friends again. They're left behind. He wants to encourage his friends. And Paul ends the final chapter of his letter, in the final chapter of his life, remembering his closest friends. He's concerned for their well-being. He's concerned for the furtherance of the gospel with Timothy and all of these that he's mentioned. Look at verse 19. Greet Prisca, or Priscilla and Aquila in the household of Onesiphorus. Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. Do your utmost to come before winter. Eubulus greets you, as well as Pudens and Linus and Charlie Brown and Margaret and Claudia and all the brethren. The Lord Jesus, I'm sorry, that'd be the only thing you remember out of this whole message today. The Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And let me close with these last few names that we have before us. You see, Paul spent a vast part of his ministry traveling by foot or by ship. Paul needed people. And you know what? In our travels, folks, we need people. Some Christians are isolated today. We're told not to forsake the gathering together of the saints. We need one another. Fellowship. If you're old enough to remember the Lone Ranger, I hear that term all the time. Well, I'm a Lone Ranger. Lone Ranger even had Tonto. Google that one, you young folks. Kimo sabe. You know. We need people. We need one another. I love church because I get to be around God's people. Even when I was on that side of the podium, right? I love people even more today. That's why God has called me to do it. I love people. We need people. And here we see he had developed a close, lasting friendship with a lot of people that he mentions. And now often today, we just rush through life, don't we? Barely touching one another's life. Why? Because I think one of the tools of the enemy is to desensitize people. I'll just shoot a text or an Instagram or whatever gram. You know, there's no contact. There's no eye contact. No bodily contact. Embrace one another. Love one another. And look at a world. In my day, when they had the telephone, it was reach out and touch someone. But people aren't reaching out and touching one another anymore. Sometimes there's no personal contact with people. I read a heartbreaking post on Facebook last week. Well, this old man takes his cell phone into the company and he says, something's wrong with my cell phone because no one calls me anymore. How sad. We need to contact one another. You know, the stuff will still be there after you go and visit somebody. And so, who is your Paul? Is there someone in your life that's your Paul? Or your Priscilla and Aquila, or Onesiphorus, Erastus, Trophimus, Eubulus, Pudens, Linus, Claudia. And what were they? They were friends. They loved each other. Who's your accountability partner? Do you have someone you're accountable to? Who's your prayer partner? Do you have someone that you have pray for you? Who is there in your life that's there for you in times of testing, in times of stress, in times of temptation, in times of oppression, discouragement, depression, despair? Do you have someone? We need each other to love you, to pray for you, to support you. Encouragement means to impart courage to somebody. There's a lot of discouraged people around. Look around. We're to impart courage to one another. You have a young Timothy to disciple you. Are you touching lives? For Paul, Priscilla and Aquila were tent makers. They ministered with him. They went to Ephesus. They were the ones who took Apollos aside because he just really didn't have a grip on the Word of God, and they encouraged him more accurately in the Word of God. Onesiphorus, he was a servant. Don't know much about him, only that they met in his household. Erastus was the city treasurer in Corinth, who later went with Timothy to minister in Macedonia. Trophimus, a friend of Tychicus. Some tongue twisters here today. Because he was present with Paul in Jerusalem, a riot broke out. Wherever Paul went, riot or revival. And that's what happened to Trophimus. His name was mentioned in the middle of a riot. Paul had to leave him in Miletus because he was sick. The others mentioned by Paul are pretty much unknown. But like I said, their names are there for being faithful. No better place to be named, again, other than the Lamb's Book of Life. And all of these mentioned by Paul and more were part of the network of Paul. And we're all networkers, aren't we? That's a modern term, I know, but it's been a biblical term for thousands of years, networking. God uses men, women, young people, children to network. As well as, you know, he even uses those that come across our path that are unfaithful, unbelieving, that are foes. Sometimes we can learn more from foes than the bros. I've learned a lot from people over the years that have come against me in ministry. I take everything to heart. What can I learn from this, Lord? How can I grow from this, Lord? He uses all things to work together for good for those who love God. In one way or another, they all affected Paul's life and ministry. In one way or another, everybody that we have contact with affects our lives. Oftentimes call people sandpaper people. Some are 220 grit. Some are 36 grit. But sometimes a 36 grit can knock off bigger, burrs off of our lives. The rough edges. Sometimes you need 36 grit on us. Lord, I know that because I got some rough edges. And he sends the 36 grit people. But the same holds true for you and me, just as Paul. We can't be afraid to touch people. Don't be isolated. There's the faithful, the unfaithful, the friend, and the foe. They're all out there. God uses them all. God uses them to make us, to mold us, to conform us into the image of his Son. And the key for Paul is the same key for you and me. What is it? Paul's focus was always on the Lord. That's the key. Always on the Lord, always on his word. And for his friend and his co-laborers, the next time they will meet will be in heaven. Isn't that amazing? Paul's famous last words. His famous last words that we have before us in verse 22. As he blesses his friends and his co-laborers, the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Grace be with you. Amen. And I'll close with that this morning to all of you. The Lord be with you. The Lord be with you in spirit. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord watch over you. Grace be with you all. Amen. As we close, we always give an invitation here. I don't know where you stand before the Lord and if the Lord stands with you. If God has spoken to you this morning and if you've not given your life to Jesus Christ, you can receive the greatest gift of all, forgiveness of sin, a personal relationship with the true and the living God, Jesus Christ, his Son. And you can have the hope that Paul had, that we have, and what Christ has done for us. And if you would like to pray to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'd like you to stand quickly as we close. Today is the day of salvation. And there's no greater gift than to receive the gift of eternal life and forgiveness of sin from Jesus Christ. Anyone, as we close, do you know him? That's the key. Do you know Jesus? Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for our brother Paul. How even 2,000 years later, we can be encouraged in our faith. And what a man of faith he was. He knew his position in you. And may we know our position in you as well, Lord. That yes, you stand with us every moment of every day. And yes, Lord, you strengthen us with whatever comes our way. And Lord, one day for every one of us who believe, you will deliver us. Even as David said, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In the meantime, we have work to do. May we be found faithful laborers, encouragers. May we love one another. May we love our neighbors. May we love our enemies. May we be so filled with agape love, Lord, that people will be overwhelmed by your love. So thank you for this morning. Thank you for everybody here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the worship, for the fellowship. Thank you for the goodies upstairs, Lord, as we go to break bread together. We love you, Lord, and thank you for this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand one more time.